You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site now, check out all the stuff we have there for you, getting you through the NFL offseason. Our draft and free agency recaps are up. Look at the schedule, as well as some things going on we know off the field here in the NFL with the reactions, the social justice protests and all that. So got you covered there as well. And here on the Locked On Fantasy Football and the whole Locked On Network, we're committed to pushing forward and bringing about that change here in our society. So again, we're committed to do that here on the Locked On Network, and we're committed to bringing you the best shows as well. And we still have to talk a little bit about football here to close the week. We're going to look at the wide receiver depth charts in the NFC. We took care of the wide receiver depth charts in the AFC, so we're doing an abbreviated week here with four shows. We'll come back with some good content for you next week as well as we wait to see teams open up their facilities here and really get in there for training camp in another month or so. So looking forward to that. So ahead of that, we want to look at the depth charts here and set the table, so to speak, for all the teams in the NFC and their wide receivers. We'll go east to west as we always do. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selections, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. All right, so when we start our NFC wraparound looks, we always start with the Dallas Cowboys. And this one is pretty simple here. When you look at the wide receiver depth chart, Dak Prescott presumably will get signed here long-term at some point, franchise tag. These are going to be his go-to guys, Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, established as fantasy forces. Cooper with a big contract, Gallup, a young rising star, and CeeDee Lamb, the first-round pick they drafted from Oklahoma. So those are your number three here. Lamb replaces Randall Cobb. They have some other bodies behind these guys. Devin Smith had some moments, Ohio State former receiver. Noah Brown, they've liked in the past in practices and camp. He's still around, and Cedric Wilson there right now would be your sixth receiver for the Cowboys. But a lot of this we know is going to go through their top three. Lamb has that versatility to be inside and outside. I think Gallup is going to be a straight up outside deep threat. Well, Lamb and Cooper can be more interchangeable in playing on the inside when they go 11 personnel, which they presumably do when you draft Lamb, invest a first-round pick on a player of that caliber. That's what you're trying to do with your offense with Kellen Moore, and we saw a lot of that to really zoom last year when Cobb was working in the middle of the field for Prescott. So Kellen Moore back, Mike McCarthy certainly going to help him really get this passing game laser-focused to be highly productive, hopefully with Prescott having a new contract in hand. The next team we'll talk about here is the New York Giants, and they're pretty much set with their top three as well. Sterling Shepard trying to shake off those concussions, kind of be their all-around versatile number one. Golden Tate working the slot, and Darius Slayton, their big play threat outside. So Slayton is kind of the Gallup of this offense, which now is run by Jason Garrett, formerly of the Cowboys. There, Tate is what Cobb was to the Cowboys, and Shepard is Amari Cooper in terms of what he can do in this offense if he can stay healthy. Here, the question mark is going to be Daniel Jones and the connection. He had best connection with Slayton, who was the same year as him last year coming in as rookies. They had a connection. Shepard was out for a lot of the year. Tate came over late here. So Slayton is the guy that Jones feels comfortable with making the big plays. Tate and him have a connection as well. There are other notable receivers here are Corey Coleman, that first-round pick, formerly of the Browns. He's kind of bounced around trying to find a spot. Cody Kore, most notably with the Bengals. So you look at that Giants again, pretty much set at the three spots here. I think Slayton has the most upside. Big play threat who can round into a little bit more of a complete receiver. I think Tate is going to be limited in his production. If Shepard can stay healthy, he's a sleeper we're going to watch, and that certainly will help the value of Jones here in 2020. We go to the Philadelphia Eagles. They've got a lot to sort out through. Part of it is injury-related and inexperience-related. You got Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson returning, hopefully from injuries. They're not planning to hang things up soon. Jalen Reagor, the first-round pick. They added another track star here with the speed of Reagor and Jackson, and Marquise Goodwin, the former 49er. They have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. The projected replacement for Jeffrey is that the kind of all-around, big-bodied receiver who can do a lot of things in the offense. They have Greg Ward, their converted QB from Houston, who really helped them out of wide receiver in a pinch last year. They've got John Hightower, a size speed prospect there from Boise State, another rookie they drafted along with Reagor. You got Quez Watkins, they added him as a rookie late, and also Shelton Gibson. So it's totally crowded here. The guys we say goodbye to, Nelson Agholor and Matt Collins, some of these other guys, but still extremely crowded here. We'll see how it sorts out. There's definitely some obstacles for Reagor producing right away as a first-round pick, especially Jeffrey Jackson as a starter. We'll see if Reagor can be trusted in the slot. That's going to be the key. Do they use more of the two tight end personnel, 12 personnel with the Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz in the mix? Will that leave room for the slot? Does Goodwin step into that role as a more experienced receiver? Can Reagor handle it? Can Jeffrey slide into it as a big slot? So a lot to be determined there. But we know one thing for the Eagles. They want more big plays. They want to stretch the field. And that means Reagor should get his opportunities. Goodwin is a good guy for that with his track star speed there that he has. So we'll see how it sorts out. It's hard to trust Jeffrey and Jackson in this backfield, however, to stay healthy considering their age, durability issues, and their inavailability for last year. Let's turn again to the last team in the NFC East to talk about for wide receiver depth charts. That's the Washington Redskins. This, there's a lot being sorted out. The one thing that's for sure is Terry McLaurin, a dominant number one receiver. There's no question that the speedster there from Ohio State had a breakout rookie year. Could have been bigger if he had some quarterback consistencies there. Case Keenum and him were on fire. It took a while between him and Dwayne Haskins. Now it's a slightly new offense, but I think this offense certainly fits the speed ability and arm strength of Haskins a lot better than the old offense. So McLaurin should be a bigger factor. We'll see. Does Kelvin Harmon step up the NC State product as being a number two here? You have Steven Sims Jr., who flashed a few big plays last year. I'd say right now Harmon has the inside track to start on the outside with Trey Quinn being their slot receiver of choice. They also have Cody Latimer, the rookie Antonio Gandy-Golden. The other rookie, Antonio Gibson, looks like he'll be more part of the backfield plans there with Darius Geis, Adrian Peterson, Peyton Barber, and others, J.D. McKissick, there to try to establish a role there as kind of a versatile player. So Gandy-Golden has a bit of a uphill climb here, but it's open here. I mean, you have Quinn, but he's not holding on to that slot role pretty highly. Harmon and Sims not really locking down the number two spot behind McLaurin. So plenty of things that can be in flux here, an all-out battle coming to fill those other spots here for Washington in training camp in 2020. All right, there you have a look at the wide receiver depth charts in the NFC East. We still have 12 more teams to talk about here. But first, I got to tell you a lot more about RockAuto.com. You can feel good about supporting RockAuto.com, your place for auto parts. Here, family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right locked on their How Did You Hear About Us box so you know that we sent you. Again, amazing selection, reliably little prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you to RockAuto.com. We'll be right back here to start breaking down the wide receiver depth charts in the NFC North for 2020. All right, one division down, three more to go in our NFC wide receiver roundup here. The Chicago Bears depth chart is next at this position. Pretty easy 1-2 with Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller. Ted Ginn was signed. He looks like the speedy deep threat playing on the outside, with Miller potentially seeing some more slot work this year in 11 personnel, three receiver sets here. That's not necessarily good news for Riley Ridley. That's Calvin's brother of the Falcons, also an SEC product from Georgia. We'll see if he can get on the field and carve out a bigger role. He didn't really do much last year. Ginn is a little older, so we'll see what he can do as a deep threat. But Robinson, coming off a highly productive season, Miller came on down the stretch as well. We'll see how it all works out here with Nick Foles. But again, Nick Foles' ability to stretch the field a little bit better is going to help these receivers versus Mitchell Trubisky, assuming he can win the job. So Ridley carving out a big role is unlikely here, with Robinson and Miller being the primary targets, and Ginn the occasional deep threat. They also have the speed of Cordarrelle Patterson, Javon Wims, and yet another return type guy like Patterson and Trevor Davis, who didn't quite work out with the Packers and Chargers there. So we'll see if is a guy that can really carve out a role here. But I look at Robinson, Miller pretty much being the primary targets here. Ginn only being casual shot here. If Ridley kind of fades here, it couldn't be bad news for him and his standing on this team going forward. But having a Foles compete with Trubisky gives the Bears a little bit of a chance here to do more at wide receiver. Lions are another team that's pretty much set with their top three. Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones is your number two on the outside. Very productive there. He is a free agent, however, getting a little older, so this is probably his last season with the Lions here, as he's probably going to be too expensive. Danny Amendola returned on a cheap deal. They also added a potential big slot option in Geronimo Allison, the former Packer. Marvin Hall has made some big plays in his career, both for the Lions and the Falcons. He's around. And Quintus Cephas was also added here, so the receiver from Wisconsin, rookie. So they've got a pretty loaded mix. I think it's going to be a battle of who can be in position to replace Jones, possibly in 2021. But for 2020, I think it's pretty clear. You have Golladay, Jones, and Amendola. T.J. Hockenson at tight end, probably seeing a lot of action, being a big part of this receiving mix as well. Allison and Cephas maybe battling for one spot here. Marvin Hall having some field stretching abilities off the bench here for the Lions. So that's how it kind of breaks down for the return, hopefully, of Matthew Stafford from that back injury of 2019. The next team we'll look at in alphabetical order in the NFC North would be the Green Bay Packers. You have Davante Adams, clearly the number one here, returning. Had that toe injury after that Eagles monster game last year, slowed him down. Was disappointing a little bit in fantasy, but came back strong to finish. Alan Lazard is pretty much your default number two, as they did not really address this position too much. They did sign Devin Funchess. That was their only notable pickup here. You have Marquez Valdes-Scantling. You have Jake Kumerow, Equanimeous St. Brown. They gave up on Jamon Moore quite some time ago. But this is the mix that you're looking at here to try to carve out a role. And does MBS step up and get more trustworthy? Is Funchess going to rebound after a forgettable season with the Colts? Does Lazard pick up some momentum as a guy they've liked from Iowa State? So looking at these guys, I mean, Kumerow has had Aaron Rodgers' trust in the past. St. Brown hasn't been healthy from Notre Dame to really compete and try to carve out a role here. So a bit wide open, a bit disappointing there with this wide receiver by committee after Adams here for Aaron Rodgers. And we're hoping that they would have drafted a receiver there that would make things clear, but not one there. So Funchess is their best newcomer, not that great or appealing, and that probably favors Lazard here being on the field as a number two. The next team in this division, that would be the Minnesota Vikings. They're not a very deep position for the Vikings. After the trade of Stephon Diggs, they do draft Justin Jefferson to replace him out of LSU with their first-round pick, so he's probably going to be in the starting lineup with Adam Thielen. But another team that could use a lot of 12 personnel with two tight ends here this season with Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith. Right now, Tajay Sharp is in the mix to be their number three, as well as Ola B.C. Johnson and Chad Beebe. So it's just an interesting mix, certainly. Not too much depth after it gets to Johnson and Beebe, not much to look at there. Again, this points to the Vikings maybe using that two tight end personnel with the zone blocking, stay run heavy team. Jefferson just kind of replaces what Diggs did, but I don't know if you feel great about Tajay Sharp in the Laquan Treadwell role. Does B.C. Johnson get a little bit more work behind these two? A lot remains to be seen here, but Thielen, clearly the number one. Jefferson, some number two qualities. to stretch the field with upside here in this Vikings offense. Let's now dip into the NFC South for a couple teams before we take our second break here. The Atlanta Falcons. This one is pretty easy at the top with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. Ridley, by the by, when Mohamed Sanu was traded to the Patriots last year, Ridley really came on strong in the slot. So it's going to be maybe more 11 personnel for Dirk Koetter. Who do they put on the outside? Right now you have Russell Gage there and Christian Blake are your options. They showed up a little bit. We know who they were, but I'd say Gage right now in a strong driver's seat to be the number three when they go three receiver sets, which could be the base here for the Falcons here in 2020. Expect that to be after swapping tight end, moving on from Austin Hooper and getting Hayden Hurst. They have some other guys, Olamide Zaccheaus, Laquan Treadwell, the aforementioned former Viking. He's in the mix, but I would say Gage has a good inside track to start here. That's the key, is just having a guy that you can put on the outside so Ridley can consistently be in the slot where he has the better matchups to exploit and really produce, and that's what he really did down the stretch last year. So Jones or Ridley, Jones a high-end wide receiver one. I think Ridley could definitely be a strong wide receiver two. Not much to see here. We just want some consistency from that number three receiver, also the number two guy outside. Finally, in this segment, we'll talk about the Carolina Panthers. They're pecking order is rather easy. DJ Moore is a clear number one. Robbie Anderson, your second guy that can make some big plays on the outside, is a number two. Slot is not easy to fill out here, but this is why it's tough to really trust Curtis Samuel in the mix with Anderson there for the Panthers, given that Christian McCaffrey is really their leading receiver here. Ian Thomas, a tight end, could do some more damage. So you could see different looks here that don't involve Samuel. And Keith Kirkwood had a few slot moments with the rival Saints last year. Seth Roberts has pretty much been a slot guy back to his Raiders days here. So we'll see how that plays out here in this three receiver sets. Can Samuel hold up in the slot? Will Samuel be on the outside and DJ Moore come in a little bit more this year? So a lot of things to definitely monitor with this Panthers offense transition to Teddy Bridgewater and Joe Brady and their scheme. See how it plays out. But really, after Moore and Anderson's more wide open than you think. Samuel's holding on to the three, but again, need to fill out that four and five where there's been some overall here when you think it's just Moore and Samuel returning from 2019. There you have it. There's a look at 10 teams and their NFC wide receiver depth charts here for 2020. As a reminder, make sure you're checking out all the great shows on the Locked On Network. That includes Locked On NFL Draft. We have two shows here, Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes. Have you covered for the pages of Draft Network, analyzing the prospects as they come in a good class ahead in 2021 featuring Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. We'll be right back here to close the show looking at our final six NFC depth charts. All right, we're talking wide receivers here, and we've gone through all but six teams here that we have to get to. Well, let's finish the NFC South and their wide receiver situations. We're up to the New Orleans Saints. We know there's a lot of things going on with New Orleans and their quarterback there, but on the field, this is important. Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. Sanders getting used to Drew Brees there. On the field, we'll see how that kind of connects. Will they all be on the same page here? That's something we want to see. Sanders bounces around yet to another team. Here, after being on the 49ers, he's been with the Steelers and Broncos, of course, played at a high level. This is a good spot for him. He can stretch a field opposite Michael Thomas, but clearly the 1-2 there. We'll see if Traquan Smith can build a consistent number three role. Taysom Hill listed as a wide receiver here still. They have different guys lined up there. They have Krishan Hogan. They have Deontay Harris, more of the return man there. Austin Carr, pretty much a slot guy. Little Jordan Humphrey, kind of a tight end hybrid from Texas. There and Tommy Lee Lewis, him of the no-call pass interference fame in the Rams. He's back in the mix as well. So, again, nothing to see here after Thomas and Sanders. They got deeper at tight end here with Jared Cook and Adam Trautman now making the mix there, the rookie. Taysom Hill, we know, is more of a tight end, wide receiver, running back, quarterback hybrid here for them, so he's not as much of a man. I don't force any production here out of Traquan Smith, given you also look at Alvin Kamara, the tight ends, all the guys in front of them in picking order, but really it's just the Thomas and Sanders show here at wide receiver for the Saints. The next team we'll talk about is the Buccaneers. Some news from the Buccaneers. Really, we can look more and more at Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. This team, Bruce Arians announced they're going to use 12 personnel. That means they're not going to force a slot receiver. So no Scotty Miller probably on a regular basis. You can see Tyler Johnson maybe develop into something a little bit more here. The rookie from Minnesota. You have Justin Watson as well. You have Bryant Mitchell and Jaden Mickens. So all these guys are just good guys. There's probably going to be a couple at least cut from this group, especially with a crowd at tight end. They have to make room for that. So 12 personnel means you'll have Evans and Godwin, but they'll have competition, especially Godwin, in the middle of the field with O.J. Howard and Rob Gronkowski. So this is the array of weapons out there for Tom Brady. Howard, Gronkowski, Evans, and Godwin gets pretty good right there. So it gives them some running, passing versatility with that set. It plays to their strengths, given they're a little weak and questionable beyond Evans and Godwin at wide receiver. These guys are amazing players. Gronk, if he can rebound, and Howard, if he can be pushed a little bit more to succeed in this type of scheme, I think this can be big, big things for the Bucs all around, and not so good for the receivers, however. So not much to see. We still think Miller is probably going to win the third wide receiver job here, but again, could be a very limited role in the end. The Cardinals are a team we're not quite sure what they're going to do base-wise as we turn our attention to our last division, the NFC West. Looks like they're in position to spread the field here with the shotgun with DeAndre Hopkins there in the mix. Now Larry Fitzgerald drops into like a big slot number two. Christian Kirk is now a speedy outside guy that you can add. Andy Isabel, a speedy, quick inside guy that you could look at. So it makes lots of sense to spread the field with these four guys. They use their different abilities, get them open here. Fitzgerald and Hopkins have the same history of early production. Hopkins will transition well to be Kyler Murray's go-to guy. Their other receivers, I mean, they also drafted, as well as Isabella last year, Keyshawn Johnson and Hakeem Butler. Butler lost season to injuries. Johnson flashed, and Trent Sherfield is still around, but I would think with the changes here with Hopkins in the mix, he's an odd man out here for the Cardinals. For the Rams, it's pretty simple at the top. It's Cooper Kupp working the slot, really the go-to guy for Jared Goff. I think Robert Woods would be a kind of number one in that mix, working primarily on the outside. Josh Reynolds is your best bet to replace Brandon Cooks. They also drafted Van Jefferson of Florida, but you look at the guys, Resses and Simba Webster, Greg Dortch, Ernest Edwards, Tristan Jackson, Iso Winston, and J.J. Koski. These are the other options at wide receiver. I mean, probably not been exposed too much to those guys. So really the Rams only go to four deep, but that makes sense because they did draft a tight end there in Bryson Hopkins. Gerald Everett's probably a replacement there because he's going to be a free agent, but they still have Gerald Everett. Tyler Higbee had a massive role and was very good down the stretch here for the Rams, producing when they were out. Brandon Cooks having the concussion issues last year. So I think it's really the Kupp, Woods, Higbee show and the offense and kind of Reynolds and Everett kind of filling things out. And Jefferson maybe getting a chance to make a few good plays if he can recover from some injury issues and be productive there for the Rams. The 49ers, Debo Samuel's at the top of the depth chart. Kendrick Bourne is probably returning to be their best number two receiver on the outside. Brandon Ayuk, we'll see if he can play the slot here. You also have the traditional slot guy, Trent Taylor. Jalen Hurd, the wide receiver running back hybrid. Dante Pettis, probably seeing the last of his days here in San Francisco, going to be cut. Disappointing player for sure. There, you also have Richie James in the mix. You also have Travis Benjamin, the former Charger, and they also drafted out of Tennessee, Juwan Jennings. So, interesting mix for the 49ers. Again, this is a team that goes a lot through its backs in the running game and passing game. They also use George Kittle as kind of the go-to guy at tight end. Samuel is their best receiver here. Ayuk can have a role here. So, right now, I would say the odd man out for sure is Dante Pettis. I think it could come down to Hurd and Jennings, who could hang out a little bit more here. And then I think Benjamin James, one of those guys, will be gone here. James has a little bit of punch because he can help in the return game as well. So I think a lot to be sorted there with the 49ers. But again, I don't see more than Samuel and Ayuk having real production here in 2020. Finally, we look at the Seahawks. Their number one, number two return from last year, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. They have a new number three here in Philip Dorsett, the former Patriot. I think he's going to be used in that capacity a lot here. But they also have a crowded tight end with Greg Olsen in the mix. So another team that could pivot more to 12 personnel. That will also help the running first mentality of the Seahawks. Is run the ball, set it up, throw it deep with Russell Wilson to Lockett and Metcalf. And Dorsett, we know, wasn't using that capacity. He turned in kind of a red zone specialist possession receiver a little bit due to the nature of the Patriots offense. But we know he was drafted as an absolute speedster in the first round by the Colts several years ago. So we'll see if he can have that type of role to help Lockett and Metcalf. They're still holding on to David Moore. Then it kind of drops after that. John Ursua and Freddie Swain are the wide receivers there for the Seahawks. But looking at it, I mean, Lockett and Metcalf, and we know Lockett's a wide receiver one borderline. Metcalf had wide receiver borderline three kind of value last year. Wide receiver really more like wide receiver 3-2 kind of player. Dorsett had his moments, but still could be very limited with this team. More same thing for the Seahawks, indication that they might be again more into the two tight end sets, especially if they can either have Will Disley or Jacob Hollister healthy to support newly acquired Greg Olsen. All right, there you have it. There's a look now at your 16 wide receiver depth charts in the NFC. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. Now tell your smart speaker to play the most recent episode of Locked On NFL Draft. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.